Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure today to welcome John Lambert of Benchmark Maintenance Services. Welcome, John.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to join us, John. So you have a wide background in maintenance, starting off as a maintenance mechanic in Liverpool, England, coming over to Canada in 73, and then working in various industries, you know, aero industry, fiberglass Canada. You know, and you worked your way up from that maintenance mechanic, foreman, supervisor, to a training instructor, all the way to starting your own business, Benchmark Maintenance.
That's correct.
What did I miss there?
Well, you basically covered it all. I even had a cup of coffee as a maintenance superintendent at Owens Corning, but I spent 18 years there. And I guess one of the things that I started then was becoming a training instructor. So as a training instructor at Owens Corning, I implemented total quality management, TQM it was called then, concepts into the plant, as well as reliability-centered maintenance into the engineering and maintenance department.
That's quite a big undertaking.
Yes, it was. It was actually quite difficult to actually go and do that, because in those days we were laying people off and you're trying to create a team concept, so it's pretty difficult. But anyways, we said we were successful.
Very good. And then you started Benchmark. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I actually started in 1994. I started my own business. It was actually called Benchmark Maintenance Services. We were specializing in the installation of rotating machinery. We were offering training, service, and equipment sales. And we started training others how to simply align two shafts, shaft-to-shaft alignment, with dial indicators. But then we added things like ultrasonics, vibration, and balancing. So it was actually in 1998 that I actually took on the Easy Laser product lines. So now we offer belt alignment, shaft alignment, and geometric measurement. Geometric measurement is our future. It's the measurement of straightness, flatness, square. So we have specific systems to basically do measure everything. For instance, roll alignment in a paper mill or a plastic film producer. So we have lots of systems, so our company's doing quite well right now.
Excellent.
But it's still, say one thing about that is that we've trained a lot of people, like Dofasco or ArcelorMittal. The City of Toronto and Ontario Power Generation are probably three of our largest customers when it comes to training. But we've literally covered thousands of people. And I've done this sort of stuff on offshore oil rigs. I've done it up in the Arctic Circle. I've done it underground in gold mines and just about every place you can imagine. So it's been quite a ride.
Absolutely. And with some of those customers, it's a testament to the results you guys deliver. Now, I was perusing through your website, and I read in an article that you highly promote condition-based maintenance.
Yeah. Yes, we do. In fact, we think condition-based maintenance is a must for any maintenance organization. But we also promote two other things. One's called proactive maintenance, and the other one's called precision. But we do focus a lot on condition-based maintenance, taking simple measurements and responding to what the measurement's telling you.
So doing your maintenance based on what the equipment is telling you.
Yes.
Perfect. Now, where should one start when looking to implement a condition-based maintenance program?
You have to choose. You have to make sure that you're picking the right instrument that suits your parameter. We use the same instruments as a predictive maintenance company would. Infrared, vibration, ultrasonics, oil analysis, all the same sort of measurements. But you've got to pick the ones that suit you the best. For example, if you had a lot of gearboxes that were slow RPM, you probably wouldn't want to use vibration. You would more likely use oil analysis, which gives you a really good return on your investment, or something like ultrasonics. You can hear a lot more on a slow-moving gearbox than you can with a vibration instrument. So you have to choose what parameters you want to measure, and then you monitor what you're actually measuring.
So you want to select technology or a tool that fit for purpose for the application. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
That's right. Now then, of course, if you have the budget, you can use all the technologies, and that's the best-case scenario, but it becomes quite expensive.
All right. Now, what role does precision alignment and installation play in condition-based maintenance?
Actually, it doesn't. If you look at a P2F interval curve, when you're looking at the slope of the curve, you're actually looking at the downside. So in other words, when it starts to fail, that's where condition monitoring picks up. That's where predictive maintenance picks up. That's where proactive maintenance picks up and all that sort of stuff. If you go to the higher side of the curve, the straightaway, you're looking at where preventative maintenance is. And that's where laser alignment systems are. We prevent the breakdown. So the better the job that you do in the installation, the longer the life expectancy of the machine.
It makes perfect sense. Install it right, and you shouldn't have to play with it, and it should run nicely for you.
That's correct.
So alignment techniques have come a long way. How important is the alignment in chains and belt life? Is it important at all?
Oh, yes. The life expectancy of a V-belt drive is said to be 7 years. I think really, if you get 5 years out of it, you're doing pretty good. But a lot of companies have to replace them well before that. The reason for this is poor installation practices. One of the elements in the installation practice is alignment, and it is a contributing factor. But we have lots and lots of breakdowns for belt-driven, especially belt-driven and chain-driven, because not only are they not aligned properly, but they're also installed under stress. Now, yes, you do get some stress from the belt, but that's designed and it's supposed to be in there. But I'm talking about twisted and distorted bases.
Okay.
Anyways, it plays a big part.
Excellent. Now, if someone's going to install a pulley or some sprockets, is it acceptable just to grab that straight edge, throw it up against there, and use that?
Well, I'm a realist, and I understand that if all you have is a straight edge, then that's what you have to use. However, you need to know that to align two planes, as it were, a straight edge is very difficult to use. You need to be able to measure not only the horizontal, but also the vertical plane. So, yes, it's acceptable to use it, but not really recommended, because you need to be able to, as I said, measure both the horizontal. Most people just measure the horizontal. And you can tell this because if you look at a belt-driven machine, not often do you see any shim under the motor feet.
All right. So for those who aren't aware, can you explain the difference between the horizontal and vertical planes?
Yes. If you look at the front face of a shiv or a pulley, if you think of it 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock position, that's actually the horizontal plane, side to side. That's where you correct the toe in, the toe out. If you look at the 12 o'clock to the 6 o'clock position, that's up and down. That's where you have to add the shim or remove shim, whatever it has to be able to do to align it in that plane as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, aside from those two planes, what other types of misalignments are there with pulleys and sprockets and those sorts of things?
Misalignment is a condition of two things. It's always offset and angular. Quite often people call it parallel offset and angular error. But it's in both planes. If you visualize two sprockets, and if you look at the 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock, you can have them both twisted so that they're towing out or towing in, just like two car tires. It's the same sort of thing.
Excellent. Now, what type of damage would that cause, or what impact would it have on the long-term reliability if we're out of alignment, whether from an offset or angular standpoint?
If you consider chains or sprockets, say, for instance, usually they're lower RPM. They turn slower. But you can quickly see the results of misalignment on wear on a sprocket very, very soon. On the chain starts to get loose. It's slack and rides up. So you can actually quickly see it, and you can see the damage on that. When you're looking at a belt, though, belt alignment, V-belt alignment, let's say, you don't see the damage per se. But what happens if you have angular misalignment? You'll have the belt rubbing on one side of the pulley. That creates more friction, heat, on one side than the other. When you start to gain heat, next thing you're going to have is slippage. As soon as the belt starts to slip, it's going to wear itself out. It dries out and starts to crack. Now, hopefully you can just replace the belt and align it. If you don't, you'll end up replacing the shiv because it will wear the shiv out.
Okay. This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. So now that we understand, you know, the importance of getting that alignment in, how we can do that, can an organization just buy a new laser alignment kit and pass it off to their techs?
Yes, of course. They're actually easy to use. If a maintenance team is well-versed in machinery installation, it's certainly not a problem. In fact, using one of these instruments is a snap.
So if they understand offsets, soft foot, all those variety of different factors that come into it, they could use the system.
Oh, yes.
But what if they don't have an understanding of those of that machinery installation?
Well, that's where they need training. If they want to upskill their people, that's it. One of the difficulties is that people don't realize. They make the assumptions that all tradesmen are all equal and have all been trained in machinery installation, whereas the reality is that that's not the case.
Okay. So how important is that training then to ensure that we get the proper installation and alignment of that equipment?
When we're talking about alignment, but that's only one aspect of the machinery installation.
Yes.
But it is a very important one, but as I say, it's only one. There's a lot more that goes into it than just that. The main goal in the installation is to remove the stress that could be involved. Yes, as I said before, there is tension from the belt. However, there's also stress that comes from other factors. Heat, thermal growth can actually move a machine and create a twist, so we have to be aware of that. A distorted base or something like soft foot can actually also distort a motor. We typically spend a lot of time measuring distorted bases on shaft-to-shaft alignment, but we don't do it on belts, and it's just as important as we should have. So it's important to make sure that your people are trained properly in the installation.
All right. Now, for that training, is it acceptable just to read the manual, or does there need to be some sort of hands-on, practical approach to that training?
Well, again, reading the manual is great because that means that your people are already up to that level. And that's what the manual is designed for. So if your people are at that level, just reading the manual is very simple and does work. But if you need to upskill your people, then you need to be able to go and get some good hands-on training to be able to do that.
Okay. So assuming they had that training, what are the right steps to perform a proper alignment with pulleys or sprockets?
Interesting. That's a very good question, actually. Not many people realize that there is a path to follow when you're actually going to go and do that. Now, I can't run through every situation just in this recording, but I could tell you, if you just consider the alignment aspect, what you have to do, first of all, is remove the angle. That would be in both planes, the horizontal and the vertical, remove the angle, and then adjust the offset. If you do it the other way, in other words, try and correct the offset and then correct the angle, you'll be going backwards and forwards. It'll take you a lot longer to be able to get the result that you need. So there is a process. Do the angle first, then the offset. Always.
Excellent. Great little tip for people installing that equipment. If you've been struggling with that alignment, something to think about. Are you doing it angular first, then the offset?
That's right.
Now, what type of documentation should organizations keep when they perform these alignments?
That's very interesting. If you visualize, if you think that people actually, the most common use of alignments is a piece of string or a straight edge still today, there's not much documentation that you can actually go and put on that. But so many more companies now are actually asking for, especially for millwrights organizations, contractors, they want documentation on where it's actually left. Now, I'll just tell you, our training programs, we call them MAD training. MAD is an acronym: measure, analyze, take action, and documentation. All of those steps are all very important. Documentation is a huge for shaft-to-shaft alignment and should also be if you're actually providing a service for a customer. You need to be able to create a history. They say that studying the past defines the future. And I think that is actually very true. You need, really do need to have a history on all your pieces of equipment. So for that, though, you would need a digital system. You'd need to have something that gives you a quantifiable, measurable number. This is one of the reasons why EasyLaser developed a digital system that's wireless, that can be used. And so where you find it can be saved as found, and where you leave it as left can be recorded. And now you've got a history. So if you go back the next time and it's not where you left it, you can ask yourself the question, why?
Yep. Then you can start down the path of doing your root cause analysis to figure out what's moving, why is it happening, and work to prevent that from occurring in the future.
That's right. Measure, analyze, action, documentation.
Perfect. Now, what other considerations should technicians consider when aligning pulleys and sprockets?
One of the many things that I see technicians, tradesmen are unaware of is that pulleys, shivs, and sprockets can be of different widths. The traditional way, let's say we're using a straight edge, they measure the outside of the face of the sprocket or the shiv and anything else. If they don't compensate for the fact that it's different thicknesses, they are actually creating an offset. So they must really be aware that they have to be able to measure both items before you actually start to do your alignment.
That's an excellent tip. I'm going to say I'm guilty of this. I've done installations of pulleys and sprockets and never even thought to make sure I'm aligning it via the center line, not the face. So
that's true.
Excellent. Do you have any tips or words of wisdom to share with people who perform these type of alignments every day?
When tradesmen use pieces of string, which is still the most common method, or a straight edge to do alignment, they use one machine as a stationary machine. And then one machine, the other machine, usually the motor, and they adjust that, they make that the movable machine, so that you move the movable in line with the stationary, standard procedure. One of the things that when you're using a belt alignment that you won't see, sometimes the stationary machine can move as you're applying the tension to the belt. You don't see it when you're using a string or straight edge. You just keep compensating by moving the thing. But there's a technique that you can use if you're using a laser system, and you can put the laser on the stationary. You can mark where the beam strikes a wall or the floor or something else like that, and it should stay in that position at all times. Quite often, especially on belt drives, the bases are not very adequate, and they're flexible. And if you run into this, it's very frustrating because you're constantly trying to move the movable machine around.
That is an excellent tip. Now, what is the one thing you see done incorrectly with alignments?
Well, in modern day, we're all moving pretty quickly. And one of the things that I see is people putting on a tapered sprocket, you know, the taper lock for a sprocket that's on a shiv or a pulley or something else like that, and they don't tighten it equal amounts. So in other words, it doesn't sit properly. And this leads to the pulley or the sprocket to be skewed. You can see them in operation as you stand at the back of them and look along the length of it. You can see it shaking. So sometimes I've actually literally seen people put these things together with an air gun, and that's the wrong tool to be able to go and use something like this. So a skewed coupling is a common problem, and a skewed hub, coupling hub, and so they should make sure that they check the runout when they're doing their alignment work.
Absolutely. Use the whether it's a dial indicator to measure that run out, use your torque wrench to make sure you're applying equal torque in all directions, vitally important.
That's right.
Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this conversation on alignment?
I want everybody to understand that the machine life expectancy is a direct result of the work that is done on the installation, without a doubt. If you do it right, you will get the full life expectancy of the chain, sprocket, or belt, or whatever you do. Unfortunately, we don't do a lot of this, but it will really pay off benefits. If you consider, just look at the billion-dollar industry that supplies maintenance with shivs, sprockets, pulleys. It's amazing how much we spend in replacements of these items. So improve your installation techniques, and you'll get a much longer life out of your machine.
Perfect. And I know I have one action coming out of this as well, and that is to make sure to get you back on for a conversation on machinery installation. Definitely something we need to talk about in the future.
Oh, I'd love to do it. Yeah, please, by all means.
Excellent. Now, where can people find out more about you? What events, activities are you involved with at the moment?
I've just finished a talk with STLE, which is the Society of Tribologists and Lubrication Engineers. I don't currently have anything else now until probably in the new year when we'll start booking some talks to be given. But what they can do is they can go onto our website, which is www.benchmarkpdm.com, which is Benchmark Precision Driven Maintenance. So they'll be able to see and go and find out the products that we sell, but also get some information in the About Us page.
Excellent. And do you have any resources you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, by all means. Again, go to the website. You will be able to see that there's a resource page where there's articles that I have written on this subject and many others in machinery installation. So it's under resources. There's some videos of our products. But read the articles where you'll find lots of information.
Excellent. Well, John, I really want to thank you for taking the time to have this conversation with me today and, you know, educate people about the proper alignment techniques that are out there. And, you know, to understand that this is only one piece of the entire machinery installation process.
Well, I've really enjoyed it, and I'd gladly come back on and give some more information out on other subjects when you have the time. Yes, I hope your listeners actually enjoy this, and if there are any subjects that they want to ask about, by all means, let me know, and we'll set something up.
Absolutely. And for all those references and resources that were mentioned in the show, we'll include those links in the show notes. And if you do have that topic, feel free to email rir@hpreliability.com or get us on Twitter @hpreliability, and we'll be sure to get those questions and topics on this podcast for you. So once again, thank you, John. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
You have yourself
have
a great day.
And you, bye-bye.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.